Now, how did you become interested in the science of psychedelics and its use in medicine?
It was actually, strangely enough, at first year university at Melbourne Uni through a recommended reading in a psychology class. The book was called The Doors of Deception by Aldous Huxley. And Aldous Huxley was a famous writer and futurist. He wrote Brave New World and also The Doors of Deception, which charted his first experience with a psychedelic called mescaline from cactus. And at that point, I had never heard of psychedelics before. I wasn't really a party goer. I was more of a gamer and a nerd. So this was my first encounter. And he described psychedelics as being of the plane of art, a perpetual creation, and that they may serve to heal mental illness in the future.
Wow.
Now, someone who was unsure whether to go in the direction of being an artist or medicine, this seemed like a perfect combination of those fields. And so I decided to study neuroscience to understand how something that could be described in that way was working in the brain.
I think this is so interesting. What an interesting crossroads you found yourself at as well, art or medicine. I think you found a very good medium between the two. Now, tell us about Mind Medicine. You're the executive officer of Mind Medicine Australia. What is it that you're doing with the company?
Well, with Mind Medicine Australia, we're a charity, a health promotion charity that's focused on bringing regulatory change in Australia, along with educating both the public, academics, regulators, about the uses and the potential of psychedelic medicine, because there is a great potential here to alleviate a lot of suffering, because, well, one in two people will experience profound mental illness in their lifetime, and one in five people right now have a mental illness. And Australia has some of the worst mental health statistics in the world. Even though we live in this great land of opportunity, there are a great number of people suffering, and our current treatments are just not sufficient to deal with the burden, economic and experiential. Psychedelics overseas, throughout universities in America and Europe, including Imperial College in London, Johns Hopkins University, Harvard, NYU, has shown great potential in alleviating suffering, more so in with larger effect sizes than standard treatments like antidepressants, like SSRIs. That's what we're doing. We're really committed to bringing new options to Australia.
Mm. So how does psychedelic-assisted therapy work? How do people benefit from the therapies?
The key thing that what psychedelics do in therapy is they sensitise the individual to a therapeutic environment. And they do this through the particular action they have at the receptor in the brain, the serotonin receptor, 5-HT2A, but it's also a change in the network within the brain. Basically, there's a network called the default mode network, which is active when we're dreaming, daydreaming, thinking about our past and our future, our near future. And this, in depressed patients, in patients with OCD or anxiety, becomes really highly active and tightly round, and it's correlated with rumination. Those thoughts of, you know, oh, I'm just not good enough, or oh, I'll never be this way. Having that thick storyline which isn't serving you somewhere, maybe from your childhood, from some traumatic experiences, or just that negative self-talk. So we find with psychedelics that this state of rumination, this state of self-story and often self-limitation gets broken up. And areas of the brain that don't normally communicate start to communicate, which is, we believe, how they break free from patterned behavior and also provide a new direction, a new perspective on yourself.
There's obviously still a lot of, I would say, stigma around the use of psychedelics and a lot of assumptions around the use of psychedelics as kind of a recreational substance that people engage with. How long do you think it will be? I mean, there's been a lot of research obviously done in the field of psychedelics for medical purposes. Do you think we're a ways off, or is this closer than we think?
Well, for our launch event, we actually had Professor David Nutt from Imperial College in London. He's the head of neuropsychopharmacology there. And he's recently said in a Business Insider article that he believes we'll have psilocybin in active use within the population medically within 10 years.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And I think he did say at our launch it was 7. So, you know, maybe that one's a more optimistic one. And perhaps it will be in parts of the world. So in Europe and America, it will come first. And that's what I'm slightly concerned about, because I don't want the Australian population not have options that the rest of the world's going to have. And we are quite behind, and which is why we're seeking this change.
Well, it's very, very interesting stuff. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out over the next few years. Unfortunately, Melissa, we'll have to leave it there because we're out of time. But thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.